This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Hour 3 of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up at 4:20, Stephen Jones is going to join you. Talk Cowboys here on a proper Football Friday. Going into Sunday's game against Atlanta. Time now for a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
On this day in Rangers history, in sports history, we were world champions. 1 year ago, and one of the great moments from that championship celebration was a very, very honest and emotional, vulnerable champion himself, Jared Sandler, talking about the Hall of Famer Eric Nadell, and Mike Bacsik ended up stealing the show. This is the one-year anniversary of that moment.
Eric has been a part of this organization for 45 years.
Yep.
And he has experienced way more losing than winning. And let's be honest here. Eric's not 35 years old. And I don't know that I communicated this with him a ton, maybe once or twice. I know that he thought it. I know Matt thought it. And I know I thought it. It killed me. It killed me to think that Eric would never have this moment.
If you hear a popcorn sounding bag or Halloween candy sounding bag there ruffling in the background, that of course is Mike Bacsik rummaging through his Halloween goodies.
It lasted so long, like he was struggling with that opening.
Just won't open.
They were playing this in Crosstalk, Sean RJ and KNC Masterpiece the other day, and I was just dying in my car at how funny it is. You don't realize just, I forgot how long it was. Like, the hang time on this is just crazy. Let's run it back one more time, Lucius. Here's Mike Bacsik stealing the show during Jared's emotional championship celebration.
Eric has been a part of this organization for 45 years.
Yep.
And he has experienced way more losing than winning. And let's be honest here. Eric's not 35 years old. And I don't know that I communicated this with him a ton, maybe once or twice. I know that he thought it. I know Matt thought it. And I know I thought it. It killed me. It killed me to think that Eric would never have this moment.
There's no situational awareness. No. It's like, nah, I've got to get to this popcorn right now. I can't wait till my man expresses himself. I got to get to it right now, bro.
Definitely a guy, game five of the World Series, and he's like, yeah, these players just want to go home. Screw it. We don't want to force a game six.
It's a long flight, Wolchuk. I mean, it's a long flight to LA, dude. I mean, we're only talking about a World Series championship.
Season's over. We'll try it again next year.
Yeah, you're right, Lucius. Like his MLB The Show awareness is historically low.
Amazing,
it's a bagel,
though.
But that's why we love him.
What'd you think about Jared's sports cry moment there? Is that an acceptable cry?
I mean, there was no video footage of it, so he's got that going for him. I would say it lingered a little bit too long.
He was a little forced.
But overall, you know, I would say he was fighting through it. I'd say, you know, he was doing his best. He wasn't totally overcome by it. I'm just hung up on Bacsik. I can't decide if You know, he knows there's noise, and he's like, fine, you want me to come to work in the middle of the night? Then I guess I'm just going to have to eat snacks. And I don't care if the mic picks it up, because you wanted me to come in the middle of the night, you know?
See, okay, I can see that being real, but he was the most giddy about being here that night
okay.
because of...
See, my shift didn't overlap with him, so right. I came in much later.
He was fired up about it. I just think this is honest to goodness, like having just no clue what was going on at the time.
I love it.
Kind of tuning out Jared to some extent.
Just total accident.
Being more worried about his candy, but he thought he was doing it in the shadows.
Well, I will say Mike will talk the most out of anybody in this staff. Like if you have a live spot or you're on air next to him and he wants to talk to the other person, he's not too worried about the mics picking it up.
No, he's not.
Freaking legend.
He is, One of one.
He was on one today. It was hilarious listening to him.
My goodness.
Brian, can you turn your mic off?
The audience at the B-dubs is starting to fuel Mike in a very special way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the more they cheer, the wackier he gets.
And the angrier Kevin gets. It's amazing.
I love it. Well, you now have the Dodgers celebrating their championship today. And they're celebrating at Dodger Stadium. I haven't seen much of the footage or the sound, but I did see this particular one here, Kike Hernandez taking shots at New York City's own Fat Joe.
Then we go to New York, and this guy, he used to be fat. He's not fat anymore. His name is Joe. He came out and sang. We didn't even need to play because after that performance, we had already won.
Just completely taking out Fat Joe there in his pregame performance before one of the Yankee home games during the World Series there. So I don't know. I don't know if there's always been some disdain from Kike to Fat Joe, or maybe in the building the acoustics were just so bad that it was like Kike had no choice but to ridicule it because it was just awful.
I thought you were going a different route with this one, with what you saw. Was it Shohei Ohtani and his dog at the parade?
I didn't see this.
Yep, Shohei and Decoy. That's his dog's name. He's holding them on the float and everything. His dog's part of the parade, too. I think it's adorable.
His dog Decoy?
I think it's exactly that. It's a decoy for what the real name is. Remember there was this whole...
Yeah, we weren't sure.
I bet that's not even his real name.
Did he get that dog right as he was under suspicion for gambling?
No, it's before. Because I know when we were waiting to see where he was going to sign, that's where everyone was wondering, what's the name of the dog? Like, is it Dodger? There was a report. No,
I got ball sacked. Remember, I thought it was Ranger.
Yeah, so he had the dog then.
I bet Decoy is not even the actual name.
Probably not.
Now, final baseball clip of the day. We got word late yesterday that Bob Costas was going to be hanging up the play-by-play microphone, if you will, and he is going to be done now, but I just can't help but play this sound every time we discuss Bob Costas, which I believe is the most disrespectful thing ever said about a player into a microphone. This is about a Cubs pitcher, Cubs and Cardinals, some years ago. Bob Costas, take it away.
Mott is on his way in. Stroop is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
It is the most dramatic thing ever.
Jesus! It is so mean, but it's so funny.
And random. Like, how would you go there? You know, you're Bob Costas with one of the most ill-advised improvs in the history of sports announcing. It just seems so out of character for him. Maybe he was hanging out with Mad Dog, got into the gummies before that inning. I think that would be an explanation.
One of the only things that could explain it away.
Unexpected extra innings, you know, popped a gummy before the ninth. Next thing you know, they're in the 12th.
Yeah, he was timing it all out to like it would hit him right when the game ended. But that game went a little long. That was pre-pitch clock, you know, so things can get away from you. All right, here's your Klay Thompson stat of the day. I wasn't aware of this, but thanks to The Athletic, Mike Vorkunov, for this particular nugget here. But right now, Klay Thompson shooting almost 40% from the three-point line. It was over that, but last night was not a great shooting night for him. He's at 38.8% from three. And the reason why this is a little bit notable is because Klay has actually been a historically slow starter from a shooting percentage coming out of the gates. He's under 36% from the 3-point line in October for his career.
Okay.
So he's usually a guy that kind of gets a little bit better.
Shakes the rust off.
He's already 3% better than that right now in the early portions of this season. So I think that's exciting. I didn't know that about him, being kind of a slow starter.
He's laser focused, probably has something to prove, and may have played quite a bit in the preseason that allowed him to get those misses out of his system.
Yeah, and honestly, I just think his shot quality is just so much better here. Honestly, I think that's it's obviously a bunch of different things, but I do think the shot quality is that to where it's like, dude, I just even if I'm trying to miss these shots, I can't. They're so open all the time.
And in the quick shot, you know, the defense starts to sag a little bit on either Kyrie or Luka. The ball's in his hands, and it's out before the guy can close. It's incredible.
It is, man. It is the quick release factor is crazy. Okay, now I am starting to get a little bit excited for the buildup here.
Okay.
Tyson and Paul.
There we go.
I don't know how you guys are feeling. Did you guys see the Instagram photo and caption
from Iron Mike?
From Iron Mike.
Yeah, so he looks to be in tremendous shape.
He looks fantastic. I was like, is this the throwback photo? It's a shirtless photo of him. He's drenched in sweat. He's worked up a nice lubrication there in the sparring gym. And it's a nice post. And then the caption just simply reads one word, homicidal.
I love it.
Wait, say that again?
He is clicked into that mode, like the children, bite your ear off mode.
I saw this picture. I think I might have even commented on it. I hope we get this Mike moment. It would be amazing at this age to get it done, but I'm not buying the hype.
Not buying it.
I think there's a filter on that photo. I think it has something to do with the sweat and the lighting to make it look good. I don't think a man of his age can possibly look that good. Once the live video happens on fight night, we're going to see what it is. A nearly 60-year-old man.
Solid four-pack. Traps are popping. Biceps looks like he just got done doing curls. The forearms are exploding out of his skin. His epidermis is having trouble containing the muscle
and the
vascularity there. I see at least on his right shoulder, he's got a nice vein popping out there. I think he's dialed right now, man. And the one word, and it being the H word, I just think the calendar flipped to November. It's fight month, and all of a sudden it's that murder switch just got flipped in his brain.
Well, so I hope I'm he doesn't, fired up for this.
I hope he doesn't get another ulcer or Crohn's disease or anything like that.
What you think, Mike? Huh? What you think about this guy saying, hey, you can't be in shape at your age, Mike? Come on.
He probably wants to eat my children, you know, if he has gone off the meds and the buildup to the fight as he usually does.
Right.
I would expect no less of Mike.
Yeah. The only I play. See what you're doing, Wolchuk. I see you, bro.
He's trying to tee it up.
Yeah, Lucius can do it so well, the homicidal.
On Friday.
I got brisket in between my teeth and everything. Yo, the Zavala's came through, fam.
They did.
The Zavala's came from
Rome. Big way. 11 out of 10. Absolutely delicious. On Friday, consulting firm Elevate unveiled renderings of its premium hospitality package for the fight, AT&T Stadium.
Okay.
Oh, so it's still here?
Yep.
Okay.
It's going down. 10-ticket MVP owner's experience that will seat two people in a private suite less than 6 feet from the action at AT&T Stadium. All right. Ringside apron suite at Tyson's first professional fight in 19 years. It's the closest to the ring that patron seating has ever been approved by Texas boxing regulators.
Damn.
So, and it features premium leather chairs. So, you know that's going to fire up a guy like, you know, Jared Hannon or whatever, Charter.
He's going to shard everywhere.
So it's comfy seating. It's premium. It's as close as you could ever be to the ring for a Texas fight. And you're also going to get a pre-fight locker room visit with Tyson and Paul. Chance to be on stage during the weigh-in.
That's wild.
Wow. Autographed gloves from both individuals.
Holy cow, I'm so in.
Personal concierge.
Switch over the price.
That's $2 million.
What?
Wow. Once in a lifetime experience.
That is a lot, though. I mean, for two.
I guess, and you only get billionaires, you know, if you put it that high. There's only going to be a couple of them.
There really is, dude. Yeah. Ticket prices low as $37, though. So if you want to be up in the rafters,
that's I would like to be there. I think that'd be pretty neat to go to a Tyson fight.
Yeah, it's a bucket list item right there.
There are three.
It's the 13th, right?
They have. I don't know what the actual.
I think it's November 13th. But maybe I'm.
No, that's a Wednesday. It's probably the 16th.
The 16th, okay.
Yeah, it's the 16th.
16th.
50,000 apiece, by the way, for some ringside seats that were listed there on SeatGeek as well. So 50K a pop if you just want a generic ringside seat and you don't want to go with the full MVP experience. But yeah, man, the Tyson photo, I encourage you to go look at it. I know Dawson's poo-pooing it right there, but I think Mike is ready to go full bore on this one. And you know Jake Paul's fired up. I think he responded too.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He said, "Fair play, Mike. You look incredible. Hulk bleep, but I'm still bleeping you up."
Yeah, so that's what I'd bet on. If anybody wants to bet me, I'm going with the young man in the sport of boxing, as much of a respect as I have for the legend that is Mike Tyson. That's all it is at this point. He's a washed-up old man. I don't think he's going to prove me wrong.
If Jake wins, I feel like it's a
rigged.
100%.
Yeah.
I'll just be sad.
I think it's a setup if Jake wins 100%.
Could you imagine the spectacle of Tyson down?
That's like, what
looking
I'm saying,
for his
man.
Mouth guard. Is right. Jake Paul, a YouTuber, God. Has beat up one of our legends from the 80s? That ain't right.
That won't happen.
Hope not. Okay, coming up next, it's time for Stephen Jones. Join us for a Cowboys conversation going into this Falcons weekend is next on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Time for our weekly conversation with Stephen Jones here on your home of the Cowboys. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us again. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. Good.
Right on, man. Dak says he's fired up about the offensive game plan that they have put together up there going into this game. How you feeling about this opportunity against the Falcons?
Yeah, I think obviously, we've had a difficult run here the past couple of games. And, I think everybody's drilled in and ready to get back in the win column. And I think we had a really nice week of practice and I feel like we'll go up there and we'll play well.
Now, how do you look at just the overwhelming amount of injuries you guys have had on the defensive side of the football and how possible it is to ask some of these guys to step up and do just as good of a job?
Well, it's just, it's the part of our business. And, things can happen like this, any given season where you have a tough patch. The good news with our injuries is, they're not for the season. And, we're expecting to get a lot of guys back over the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, we do have to have guys step up and play well. And, we're not totally ruled out some of the guys yet. We'll see how things go tomorrow in terms of, where we think they are. But certainly a challenge. But I think it's something that, Coach Zim and the defensive group will step up and I think we can get the job done.
Yeah, we saw Micah ruled out along with Deron Bland. Any timeline to get them back? And then anything you can add on Trayvon Diggs with him being questionable and what he's dealing with?
Yeah, I think everything's just week to week, at this point with guys like Bland, guys like Micah. You just have to take it week to week. Diggs will take another long look at tomorrow and then make a decision.
Dak and Lamb were talking about kind of maybe finding something late in that San Francisco game, getting back onto the same page. Do you have reason to believe that as well here moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe it because they played so well together in the past. And certainly, you know, it did feel like things were coming together for them. Obviously, a big game for CD. And, you know, the guys kept competing out there and making plays. Certainly, they wanted to continue that into the last drive. But that's, you know, a work in progress. And we just, it's a long season. We got 10 football games left. Certainly, you know, as Bill Parcells used to say, you are what you are. Right now we're 3-4 and, you know, not playing above average football. But I do think that's something. We got the right group of guys, the right group of coaches that'll, you know, that have been in situations like this before, and I think we'll respond.
With Rico being back, how do you see the running back situation playing out on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it'll be great to have Rico back, and certainly, you know, Dalvin's getting his feet wet now, and certainly we'll finalize everything tomorrow and go from there.
Should Rico, I mean, you look at the stats, and I know the stats don't say everything, Stephen, but it's 4.2, and then no other running back is above 3.1. Should Rico be a bigger priority in the second half of the season, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he was certainly something that, you know, before, you know, we ended up having to miss the game last Sunday night, you know, it was, you know, the thought process was he'd start out the game and get the majority of the carries. But certainly that changed. But he, you know, when given the opportunity, he's, you know, he's doing a good job with it. And certainly I know Michael made the right call there as we move forward, but I know he thinks a lot of Rico and, you know, what he can do for us. And certainly, you know, that's the way the thing's starting to shape up.
Would you like to see Dak run a little bit more?
You know, I think if the opportunities are there and he's, you know, selective, strategic in how he goes about it, I think it's good when they give him that. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you just got to look around the league and a lot of the quarterbacks, you know, that have been hurt this year from running the football. So, you know, all these quarterbacks around the league are taught to be smart about it. And certainly Dak's been in the league now 9 years and he, you know, he knows when the opportunities are there. And I know he knows how important each and every game is now that we've gotten had done quite as well as we'd like to do. And he knows how important each win can be for us. So, you know, as we move forward, we'll know he'll look for those opportunities. But at the same time, he's going to be smart about it. And, you know, he can't help us if he's not out there playing.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a younger team around him. He's facing more pressure than before. And he's having to thread the needle more with tight window throws than ever. And his turnover-worthy plays are up, Steve. And I'm wondering if, you know, you want to see him continue to take risks in pursuit of points here, or if you want to see him throw it away. How would you, you know, prefer that Dak and the offense approach that dynamic in the second half?
Well, I would start with this, and no one knows it more than him. I mean, when you lose the turnover battle, it's been long projected in this league. You don't win games if you lose the turnover battle. And he knows how important protecting the ball is. And, you know, at the same time, you know, there's a proper time for risk. But, you know, one of the staples have been of the last three seasons, you know, when we've won the 12 football games is, you know, we were winning the turnover battles. And certainly right now we're not. And he knows better than anybody we got to protect it. The flip side of that is we need defensively to go get some turnovers. So, you know, it's a fine line there, as you said, between trying to make plays, you know, put the ball in some tight windows at times, but no one knows more than Dak how important it is to protect the football.
Stephen Jones with us here on The Fan. Your draft and develop strategy, you've been one of the best drafting teams in the league, but then when it comes to the second and third contracts, I wonder, are you getting the return on those investments for some of the players that you've handed out those contracts to?
Well, you know, obviously, we just did CD, so we'll see. You know, Diggs obviously coming off an injury year and, you know, not, you know, getting the picks that, you know, he likes to have under his belt. You know, that one's a work in progress. Same with Steele, a work in progress. But, you know, you do have to pick and choose, especially when you're signing even, some of the bigger ones, you certainly want to hit on them. So we'll continue to monitor that and see that. And, most of the guys we are paying, as you said, we're drafting and developing, and, we're spending the money on the guys that usually that we've drafted here. So, we're always looking for ways to be better. I think you always have to evaluate exactly what you're doing. And, if for some reason you're not having success, which happens, to be the case up to the point and where we are this season, then you always have to evaluate, should we do something different, or should we, be evaluating this in a different way? It's never, I think in this league, it's always a work in progress in terms of, how we move forward. So we'll continue to evaluate it. Like you said, I think we still feel good about our process in terms of how we're drafting players. And certainly as we move forward, it'll be something that we'll evaluate throughout the season, as well as a complete evaluation at the end of the season in terms of, if we want to change any strategies that we're using in terms of how we're putting our football teams together.
Steven, other than winning in general or winning a Super Bowl, what would you say? Because we got the NFL, we got the trade deadline coming up. I'm curious, just like in terms of pure fun of your job and what you get to do, is wheeling and dealing around trade deadline day, putting deals together that way. Is that the funnest part of your job? Is it draft day, perhaps, or maybe it's something else?
Well, the best part is winning, and nothing's near as enjoyable, when you don't win. And certainly, we're not where we projected, and our thought process, we're not where we thought we'd be sitting here at 3-4. So, that's the first part of it. But yes, I mean, certainly, whether you're drafting players, whether you're putting your roster together, whether you're tweaking your roster, all that is a great part of what we get to do. And but it sure is a lot better when you're putting these things together and doing them and you're winning, versus the flip side is when you're not having as much success as you thought you'd be having right now. But as I said, there's a lot of football left to play. We've had some challenges on the injury front, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it's still early in the season. We got 10 football games left to play, and feel like we can right the ship.
Now, speaking of the frustrations of losing, Steven, it looked like Mike Leslie and Trayvon Diggs patched things up pretty good. Did you see that?
Well, that's good to see that happen. I mean, Mike Leslie's a respected reporter, and I know Trayvon's a good man, and it was just one of those unfortunate incidences, and I'm glad they worked it out.
Now, I got to tell you, though, when Kevin asked you that question Monday on the fan here, your reaction was just textbook disappointed dad. So I wanted to give you credit for that. That was high entertainment. It actually wins our G-Bag of the Day 4 years in 4 days in a row, which is a little contest we do for the best audio
it's
in
amazing,
sports.
Amazing, Steven.
Yeah. Can you run it back for him, Lucius? Yeah. I don't know if you realize how this went down, but your sigh is just legendary. Here we go.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Just a legendary sigh and a Steven. So,
that's so good, man.
Wanted to give your flowers on air for that one.
Oh, well, you guys are great. Good to be on with you. And let's get this team back on track. We have a lot more fun when we're winning and not talking about things like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
Real quick, serious question, though. Has the media gone overboard this season in your estimation?
No, I mean, I think, we're 3-4. I understand the criticism. I understand the disappointment. With our fans, they would have to be disappointed. Their expectations are high as well. And so, you know, it's what we signed up for. And when it's going real well, it's a great thing. And, you know, when you're having your challenges and struggles, that's what you know, that's what you get. So, you know, we're at peace with the, you know, the media's criticism, and we just have to go out and do something about it.
Well, we'll drink to that. Sounds good. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Salute. There you go. Stephen Jones with you here on 105.3 The Fan. I kind of got excited when he said change strategies for how they're putting their football team together.
I know. I saw you perk up, and I was jumping in with the other question. I was like, man, Dawson would have probably – you probably grilled him on something there. You might have had a good follow-up to what would that look like. Or
yeah, no, I wasn't thinking anything. I was just stunned.
It was pretty awesome.
I was like, cool.
Well, no, I mean, you're looking at it right now, and it's just kind of fact. I mean, they gave a second contract to Terrence Steele. That's not really benefiting them right now. I mean, he's right about, you know, Dak and CD and Trayvon. Those are relatively fresh. So the jury's still out on that, but some of these others, you know, I don't know. They're going to have to evaluate that.
All right, we got to run. Thanks to Stephen Jones for joining us. We're back.
Great execution on the D's nuts, by the way.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. I was concerned about how that was going to grow and who was going to do it.
Yeah. I'm glad you took that.
I was nervous, but I felt like it had to happen one way or another.
You led from the front on that one.
Top 10 at 4:40 coming up. Woolchuck, where are you taking it?
It's National Jersey Friday, so I've got the top 10 best jerseys in the history of sports. What's your favorite? That's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 5 o'clock hours coming up. Crack them if you got them. It's time now for Woolchuck's top 10. Here he is, Zach with an H, or Wooly Bully.
All right, we got the top 10 best jerseys in sports. 877-881-1053. What's your favorite jersey? It's National Jersey Friday. We do have Ohio State, Penn State tomorrow right here on The Fan. Biggest game of the day. Top 5 showdown in the Big Ten. Buckeyes and the Nittany Lions. Can Penn State finally knock off Ohio State? Some injuries could certainly maybe go in the favor of Penn State. There's Ohio State could be without a couple of linemen. And then Sunday morning, pregame, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo. You're going to have Greg Olson on. First time this year. Used to be a staple on the pregame show. Excited to get to hear Greg.
Greg the Leg. Haven't heard from him in years, man.
Man.
Missed that guy.
Me too.
He used to, I mean, he was calling every Cowboys game.
He was.
We built a great rapport and relationship with him. I know he's fired up to get back with us.
Now, if you had to guess, like, who's the top jersey seller of all time, individual player?
Michael Jordan.
Number one. Boom. Michael Jordan, one.
LeBron James.
LeBron is 4.
Messi.
Messi is 2. Ooh, you guys are knocking him down.
You
boom,
Messi.
Boom, 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 boom.
Let's go with Joe Montana.
Nope. No Joe in the
Tom Brady.
10. Tommy Brady is indeed number 5.
Kobe.
Kobe 7.
Kobe.
Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter 6.
Wow, that's really
so we've
strong.
Got 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 2 more soccer players.
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo is indeed number 3.
Neymar.
Neymar is 8. 9 and 10.
That's all we're missing?
Just 9 and 10. You guys are crushing this.
Let's go.
Obviously, Dirk. International hero.
No, neither are NBA players.
Oh, they're okay. Okay, they're not
NBA players. Both still playing in their sport.
Both still playing in their sport?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is 10.
Wow, Mahomes is already there?
Yep, and 9 is the only player representing his sport.
Okay.
We've talked about that sport today, actually.
Gretzky.
Not Gretzky, but that's a great guess.
That LA Kings, Jones.
It's a great guess.
Wow, we can't get a Wayne jersey in
it's
there?
Not Wayne, it's Sidney Crosby. Sid the Kid.
Sid the Kid.
Comes in at number 9. But what are your favorite jerseys ever? And for me, and this got texted in, 214 Cowboys, Thanksgiving, white shoulders, navy chest, white helmet.
Yeah.
The ones that they wore, and I've talked about this, like the 94 season, those were, and they wore them in that NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, that didn't go the Cowboys' way, but those are my favorite unis when it comes to Cowboy jerseys.
Probably the Texas Rangers red ones.
You like the Rangers reds?
Yeah.
Desmond Howard. I like the Desmond Howard Michigan jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
The Powder Blue Expos.
Yeah.
Very good.
I like that one, throwback.
The Denver Broncos with the blue helmets.
I love the Orange Crush. Those are outstanding. Those are fantastic unis. We've got on here, number 10 is the Washington Nationals City Connect uniforms, which I don't know.
Wow.
I think this is, these are kind of overrated.
Those are not ringing any sort of bells.
I don't love these at all, but I guess people do. Nine are the Utah Jazz late 90s, early 2000s mountain jerseys. And those are pretty damn classic.
Yes, those are awesome.
Those are sweet.
I mean, can we give some love to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks?
Oh, yeah. Quack, 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 quack.
Yeah.
Those are going to be on here in the top 10.
Dude, I mean, those need to be making a comeback.
I think they are wearing them. Anaheim is.
Forever?
No, not.
Oh, they're going to have like a couple
like an
nights?
Alternate kind of thing, yeah. Good. Yeah, they're going to put
it on the tour. At least they could do.
They should.
You mentioned the Utah Jazz. Yeah. You got to go with the Chicago Bulls, the pinstripe ones.
Ooh.
Them pinstripes.
Yes, dude.
See, do they have the Bulls?
No, chef's kiss.
Bulls didn't end up making the top 10 here. Do you guys still buy jerseys?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I'm not against it.
Because Jesse kind of like, Jesse Holly got me second guessing that. Like, are you going to wear another band's?
No, don't listen to him. Yeah. He's doing shtick.
Yeah. Now, I would buy it if you're like a great player or you're like family or friend or something like that. Yeah, I'm putting you on for sure.
If you're a really big fan, you know, a couple of jerseys here for your game day, I think absolutely. Maybe more a fan of the T-shirt jersey these days.
Yeah, that seems like people are rocking with that a lot.
Mm. I mean, it's tough as you get older and your arms are just looking pathetic and pale, you know, if you put on a basketball jersey.
Just put throw an undershirt on there.
You
got to
throw an undershirt on there, yes.
That's a must.
And now you're just thinking maybe I'm just too washed in general for the jersey.
Get a good pump in before you put it on.
But once it's a game day, there's no rules or limits on that. No limitations.
Okay, yeah. So
I'll put a jersey on top of a 3-piece suit. Be like, we're going to the game. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's jersey day.
Middle-aged dude, and he's wearing a jersey of a current like rookie or second-year player on that team right now.
Yeah.
That's chill.
Yeah, just a big fan.
Okay. All right. Because I was thinking, like, you know, the older you get, the more, like, throwback jersey you want to wear. It's still a Cowboys jersey, but maybe it's the Emmett jersey.
Right.
You know, because you're a middle-aged, you're repping the Emmett jersey still. You're at the Cowboys game.
Like, if I'm showing up
youngster
in my Cooper
wearing
BB.
His old school. Yeah, Walchuk's wearing his Cooper BB jersey, and that makes a lot of sense.
I think that's fanmanship at its finest.
Okay.
You're all still right. Youthful enough, you know?
You guys make me feel better about this. 8 is the Green Bay Packers jerseys. That's a classic. You don't like the green?
I mean...
Bland. 7 is the Notre Dame green alternate jerseys. Ooh, those are actually pretty sweet.
Yeah,
those are sweet.
And I wonder, are they made sweeter because of the gold dome?
Probably.
Probably so. Yeah, like, just does. That combination.
Yeah, it looks really good.
But it is awesome.
6 is the Anaheim Mighty Ducks original jersey.
Yes. Nice.
5 is Tulane. The Tulane University football jersey. A lot of green.
Dude, and they do like a powder blue.
A powder blue, yeah.
That's actually a pretty good call.
It is a good look. It is.
It's underrated.
4 is the LA Lakers. That's a classic.
Man, it just makes me want to vomit whenever I see the Lakers, though.
Purple or the yellow? Which one's better?
It's tough because I actually really like their whites.
You like the whites? I got the yellow one here.
What about that throwback Astros? The throwback Nolan Ryan Jones?
Like Space City ones?
The stripes on it?
Yeah, I know which one. Yes.
The yellow and orange stripes?
Yeah. It's just, if it wasn't Houston, those I'd like ones. It more. Yeah. But those did look good.
Got like a Southwestern flavor in
they
it.
They are pretty sick.
I think they rocked theirs. That was like the first run. They went to the World Series back in like the mid-2000s with Roger Clemens.
Yeah, I was alive for that throwback jersey addiction age.
Yeah.
And this one right here was one of them. No, you ain't got the Nolan Ryan, cuz. Oh, my God. Killing us out here.
That was the one?
Yeah, one of them.
That's really nice.
Ooh, the TCU black and purple is a good look.
That is a great look.
TCU has fantastic uniforms. And what SMU's doing now is pretty damn dope as well.
It's hard to make purple and green look good, but TCU, UNT, the stars, they pull it off. I just don't like that the Astros take the star. You know, I think that's just very little brother of them. I think the Cowboys claimed it.
You know? I agree with you on that. Number 3, and this is the only soccer uniform or football uniform kit in the top 10. It's Argentina.
Oh, it's a beaut.
Is that the best one you think? That's the most classic?
I guess.
Is that powder? Is that like a powder?
It's kind of like a powder blue
and there's the stripes.
Yeah, vertical stripes.
It is pretty sharp.
Yeah, black trim. 2 is the Yankee pinstripes.
Yeah, them stripes set it off.
It is classic.
Orlando, the black jersey with the white pinstripes.
Oh, I love those.
Pinstripes is such a situation.
I love those. But number 1, the all-time best sports jersey. They're going with the Carolina Blue, the University of UNC men's basketball.
Yeah.
Good look.
Yeah.
Hard to push back on that.
It's clean.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Better late than never. Woolchuck's top 10, usually at 4:20 here in the Jeep Bag Nation, but Stephen Jones wanted that slot. And we say, whatever the heck you want, Steve. We'll float the sked, no problem. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, what do we got? Well, we got a Falcons stat of the day, and we asked the question, did Jerry really say that? Next in the Nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.